Welcome to today's Hearthstone. Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. District 79 State Representative Dustin Height joins us on today's program to recap the 2021 Iowa legislative session.
Well, and I know another bill that passed early, and again, we're talking this morning. This is the final day of the session after the gavel had hit. Another bill that has maybe a little more controversy surrounding COVID-19, an amendment that you introduced that ultimately would prevent school districts, a lot of cities and municipal governments from implementing a mask mandate of forcing citizens, or at least making the law to citizens, to wear face masks. What was the reasoning behind that? And ultimately, why did the Senate and House decide to kind of give that state overview and that state law from a top-down approach?
So I think as we've gone through this COVID-19 pandemic, we've learned a lot of things. And we've also heard a lot of things from our constituents. And one of probably the most the biggest thing that I've heard of or heard from the most people, both within my district and across the state, was regarding masks. And so the bill, it did two different things. Number one, with regard to schools, said schools couldn't do mask mandates for students, employees, people else on their property. And then cities and counties couldn't regulate masks on private property. They still have the option of saying on their own property or in public, on the street or something like that. They still have that option. And so that's the compromise that the House, Senate, and the governor reached. We heard from a lot of people that were wanting to get past these masks. The compromise we reached, I think, provides a good balance between, individuals having that choice and still providing for future emergencies. The governor still has her emergency health proclamation authority. In the event we come up with something like this, and I hope none of us who are alive today have to live through something like this again. But in the event we would, the governor still has the ability to use her emergency powers to implement a mask mandate if that's the appropriate response. But this would eliminate the hodgepodge of different cities and different towns and different schools implementing their own policies, many times in conflict with each other. And as we've seen here in the last week with schools, in conflict with the advice of the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Well, and I just wanted to clarify this point, so you may or not know, as you guys were debating in the House, our Pella School Board was making a decision with local control and ultimately upheld a decision made by Superintendent Greg Ebeling to make masks optional. So my question is, I know Republicans had spent a lot of time over the past several years talking about local control and board control. Why take that decision out of a school board's hands? Pella obviously made that decision and ended up making the masks optional. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so, Pella School District, I was aware they were debating it. I was obviously in the debate in the House, so I wasn't paying attention to what was going on in that meeting. But they are, while they made that decision, and I think that's the right decision, a lot of other school boards did not make that decision. And, we do talk a lot about local control, and that's super important. But the way I look at this, and I think the way my colleagues look at this, is we look at this as parental choice. Parents having the choice whether or not their kids wear masks. And so that's why we think what we did was the right thing for Iowans.
So let's go ahead and move forward. Obviously, a lot to talk about. We've had a full session now. A few weeks past, I'm sure, what lawmakers were hoping to do, wrapping up instead closer to the end of May than to the end of April. Based over the past 3-4 months now, what are some of the priorities or bills that you're most proud of that either you championed, that you led on the floor, or that you felt were good legislation that was passed, bipartisan or not?
So much of what we do, as you say, is bipartisan, and I think that's important for folks out there to know. One of my colleagues keeps track of that. I think it was like 87% of the bills, something around that number, were bipartisan, and so I think that's important. A couple of the big ones that, while my name may not have been on the bill, I think are some of the most important things that we did for Iowa. First, regarding child care, we had a bill that helped eliminate the child care cliff, and the child care cliff is the situation where a individual or family's child care assistance stops once their income hits a certain level. And so that would prevent people from getting different jobs, getting promotions. They would turn those down because they would lose their child care assistance. And so that was super important to get taken care of. We passed the largest broadband expansion in this state with $100 million investment in broadband and have to give credit to some of my House Republican colleagues who worked on that really hard, Representative Sorensen out of Greenfield, to make sure that we tried to future-proof our system across the state as best as possible by investing in those technologies that had the capability of going fast, while also understanding that in some rural areas, maybe a slower connection is still better than no connection. And so that's another huge bill and a huge win for Iowans. And then, you know, from my perspective, my bills that I champion, probably the one that I'm most proud of is my redlining bill. And I think we talked about that before. That didn't make it through the Senate. But my hope is next year it's still live. And so next year we can get it on the governor's desk.
Well, and that's what you mentioned. We are just in year one of this 2-year Legislative General Assembly. But before you reconvene for regular business in January, there will be some business to attend to later this year at some point. It looks like right now, possibly late summer, early fall. And that is the census data coming from the U.S. Census, obviously delayed significantly by COVID-19 and the transition between two presidential administrations. It sounds like, Representative, that there's going to be some opportunity later this summer to have the conversation about districting and all the above. What do you think that's going to look like? And ultimately, what do you know now in late May about what that process will ultimately look like whenever that does start, whether it's August, September, or whatever?
Well, this will be the first time that I go through redistricting, but the system we have in Iowa is designed to prevent the concept of gerrymandering. And so, you know, the way we work, we have a nonpartisan organization. They draw a map. We vote yes or no, we go to the second map. We vote yes or no, we go to a third map. And we've never gotten to that third map. But the way our law is designed, those districts are supposed to be compact and, you know, have roughly the same population. And so we have a great system. And that's how it goes. It sounds easy. When you talk about it, it's a lot more difficult on paper because we have to take all the data from the federal government and then create these districts that have certain parameters they have to meet. So I'm kind of excited to see how the process works. I've never been a part of it. But it is anticipated that maybe late summer, early fall is when we'll have the data and be able to go through that. I think, you know, what we've been hearing is we're going to keep 4 congressional representatives. But I think, you know, just anecdotally, we're hearing that, you know, the urban areas are growing. The rural areas are not growing as much. And so I think, you know, we're going to see some more urban districts in House and Senate districts and maybe fewer rural ones.
Well, and on top of that, when you do, I know it's a few months away, more like half year away, but as you start thinking about the next session, I know you're kind of recovering from this one. You mentioned one of them. Are there any other priorities or things that you think are early contenders of, hey, this is something that we'll be able to accomplish, that there was maybe a few more bumps to iron out between whether it was Democrats, Republicans, or Senate and House?
Well, there's a lot of issues still on the table. We had in our original tax bill, we had a portion of it that directed more economic development dollars to rural Iowa. You know, that's still something I would like to see come through. As chair of the Education Committee, I now have one session under my belt. And so this summer, I'll certainly focus on education policies that maybe we can change and improve and make education better in the state of Iowa. And so I'll probably be spending a lot of my off-session time working on education policy, but I don't quite know what that will be yet.
Once again, that was State Representative Dustin Height recapping the session. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniacableless.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.